These words we have read are familiar words, aren't they? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Ask and you shall receive. It's a claim that the prosperity preachers ought to be able to make a field day out of, isn't it? Name it and claim it. Here we come. I thought of this passage during the week as I read a news article from the Christian satire site Babylon Bee. I'm just reminding you that it's satire because it's not true, but this is how it goes. A man in the audience during a Kenneth Copeland Day of Healing and Victory event Friday yelled out to the televangelist, clearly and forcefully naming and claiming Copeland's 2005 Cessna 750 Citation X in the name of Jesus, his jet, leaving him in a real pickle, sources confirmed. The 79-year-old was delivering a rousing message entitled Victory is Already Yours when he reportedly invited the audience to cry out exactly what they were believing God for, promising that all their wishes had already been purchased for them by the blood of Jesus by naming and claiming the items they were, in fact, taking ownership of them. So when a shrewd man in the front row cried out, I claim your 25 million Citation X in the name of Jesus, in a voice so loud that Copeland could not possibly ignore it, the preacher had no choice but to address him. Then it's yours, young man, glory to God, he reportedly replied, while wiping his brow, adding the man should see him after the service in order to arrange the title transfer. A crestfallen Copeland continued his message, visibly distracted as he reportedly tried to think of a way out of his conundrum, not wanting to give up his precious high-speed aircraft, but unsure how to escape the situation without betraying the theology he has been championing for decades. But how are we to take these prayer instructions of Jesus so that we won't run into these sorts of hypothetical difficulties? And why don't we receive the good things that we ask and seek and knock? For I know this is true of you this evening. You have asked for many things and not received them. You have sought them, perhaps earnestly in prayer, and they haven't happened. You've persisted in knocking on heaven's door, but to no avail. Why? And what good do these words of Jesus do for us if we can't be sure they're going to happen? I think this evening we need to begin and focus our attention on the character of God if we're to make progress in our questions. What does this passage teach us about our God? And I think it teaches us, first of all and primarily, that he is a good, gracious, and generous giver. God is a good, gracious, and generous giver. And that's an important place, I think, for us to begin our unanswered questions. If we approach prayer as a giant vending machine up in the sky, able for us to obtain whatever we want, then I am going to be disappointed. I will. I'll be frustrated when I don't get what I ask for. I'll accuse God in my mind and maybe even in my words to him that I'm getting a raw deal. It's not fair. He's got it in for me in some way. But we pray to a God who is a good, gracious, and generous giver. Look at verses 9 and 10. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Jesus brings our questions down to earth for a moment. He appeals to our experience of parenthood. It's an imperfect parenthood. We ought to acknowledge that up front. Children, do your parents always show you perfect love and consideration? You don't need to answer that question. Just think about it in your minds. No, they don't, though, do they? Your parents don't always do that. And children, I've got a secret for you tonight. Mums and dads can just stop listening, but I've got a secret for you. Don't tell mum and dad. You're listening? Your parents are sinners. They are. They love themselves more than they love God or you. They make mistakes. They get grumpy. Sometimes you're the cause of the grumpiness. But even when that's true, parents don't always respond in the best way, the way that they should. And neither do parents always say yes, do they? Do your parents always say yes? You know, sometimes you ask mum or dad if you can have a special treat that's in the cupboard. You know it's there. You saw it get bought at the supermarket. You've seen it up on the top shelf, hidden away behind some more ordinary-looking things. Can we have one, mum? Can we open the packet, dad? And what do your parents say? Do they always say yes? Sometimes they say yes, but sometimes they say no. Have they stopped loving you when they say no? Nope. They still love you, but there are reasons. For example, there are times and places for special treats which stop being special if you have them all the time. But when you asked for something ordinary, and bread and fish are the examples that Jesus uses, food for life, when did your mum or dad ever say no to you asking for a piece of bread and give you a rotten apple instead? That's never happened, has it? Or when you asked to go to the playground, can we go to the playground, mum? They said, go clean the toilet. That just doesn't happen, does it? Because parents love their children. Because they love their children, they say yes whenever they can and whenever it'll be good for you. Sometimes they'll say no when it's the fifth story in a row that you've asked for. And there are often good reasons why mum or dad might say no, even if you don't always understand why. Sometimes parents do say no when they shouldn't. It's an expression of our own self-centeredness and sin. But a loving parent never gives you a bad thing instead of the good thing you asked for. And already I think this helps us to understand some of the questions we might have about prayer, because Jesus is arguing from the lesser example to the greater, as he does so often. He's saying parents love their children. And while they sometimes say no to the things the children ask for, loving parents don't give you something harmful or mean instead of what you ask. But God is more than your mum or dad. Your mum and dad love you with an imperfect love, but your heavenly Father loves you with a perfect love. And so Jesus is saying, don't be scared to ask for the good gifts, the good things that you need or even want. God's not going to treat you badly for asking. He loves you. Ask and seek and knock. He's a good and gracious and generous giver. But I've still got a question about why God doesn't always give to me when I ask. Why I don't find the answers I seek. Why sometimes the door stays stubbornly stuck. How come? Does Jesus have something to help me answer that question? I want you to look carefully at verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, and children, that's the bit that's telling us that parents are sinful. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Parents, loving parents, if they are worthy of the name, evaluate the requests their children give them. If Corin asks me if we can have pizza every night for the next month, he's smiling there in the back row, then I'm going to say no. Even if he points out to me it'll mean Lydia will get a break from cooking, and wouldn't that be an act of love towards her? Pizza is a good gift. A month of pizza in a row is a recipe for bad health. And so I'll say no, not because I don't love my son, but precisely because I do love him. It's why you feed your children vegetables, even if they'd rather have something else, because you love them. One reason we don't receive what we ask for is because God evaluates what is good. He's the giver of good gifts, verse 11 tells us. Obviously, we can claim Kenneth Copeland's $25 million jet in Jesus' name, but is that really a good thing? A jet might be a good thing if used productively for the good of others, but for me and probably for you, I'm going to guess it would be a terrible indulgence, a wasteful indulgence. We wouldn't be able to afford the operating costs, let alone anything else. I can ask for all that I might want, but God's going to evaluate at my request and decide perhaps that that's not a good thing for me. This takes trust. But it's also an exceedingly good thing in my more ordinary prayers, when I'm not praying for jets. Because often I don't know. I have no idea what is ultimately good or best. So you tell me this evening, what's better? That God says yes to my prayer and gives me what I ask for, or that he says no because something else will be better. Something else will be better for me or for others. You see, I may even have a warped grid for understanding and evaluating what's best. Thankfully, I can't go wrong when I pray about it. God will either give me what I ask for, or he'll give me something better. He's a good and gracious and generous giver. What about when I know the thing I'm praying for is good, but I still don't receive it? Peace in a troubled relationship, the salvation of a loved one, opportunities to serve, an end to fighting. Should I give up? Friends, there are enough stories that Jesus tells me to encourage me to keep on praying, to persevere in prayer. Perhaps the problem is that I'm impatient. I just want to pray once and be done with it and get the good thing rather than pouring out my heart and seeking an answer earnestly. I want the jam door to unstick with just a gentle tap rather than persistent hammering on the door of heaven. There are mysteries to prayer, and we're not solving the mysteries tonight. But as an encouragement to prayer, as Archbishop William Temple once famously said, when I pray, coincidences happen. When I stop praying, the coincidences stop happening as well. He's a generous and gracious giver. So I pray. I pray for what I believe is good, what is best, and I keep on praying. That's the heart of the passage this evening. But there's a single verse that we haven't looked at so far tonight that I want to address as we close. It's part of the same paragraph in your NIVs. Verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And at first glance, you might think, as I thought, what is this verse doing here, right bang at the end of a section on prayer? Is there a connection, or is this just a short little one-liner that Jesus threw in an opportune moment before he wrapped up his sermon in just a few paragraphs' time? I've been pondering that this week, and I'm not sure if this is the only connection or even the best connection, but here's what I've been meditating on. That the good, gracious, and generous giver who gives good gifts to those who ask, seek, and knock in turn inspires a good and gracious generosity to all. We pray, and God answers our prayers in his generosity and his gracious goodness. And that changes us. We desire to receive good gifts, good things from the hands of God. And then God's goodness in turn inspires us to give good things to others. Just think of the parable of the unmerciful servant. We've looked at it before and we've referred to it several times. The unmerciful servant who's forgiven that enormous debt. And then he goes out and finds one of his fellow employees, one of his fellow servants who owes him a trifling amount in comparison, and he demands the immediate repayment of that debt. And Jesus says, the unmerciful servant doesn't understand grace. And we don't understand grace either if we seek good gifts from God and then turn and deny them to others. Deny love to others, deny grace to others. But when we have understood the greatest of good gifts that we have received, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, then we're not left unmoved. We can't thank God for saving us through faith in Jesus and then act like we don't care about other people. If we treat others like dirt, or at least second best, have we really understood grace and God's generosity, His gracious and generous gift of love? So do to others as you would have them do to you. Because Christ first did good to you. Give as you have received, and be children of the King, the good, gracious, and generous God. He loves you. He's given you good gifts. He's generous. Live as His children. Live as children of the King. Live as children of the King of love. Amen. Let's pray together.